What's up, guys? Trevor here with E-commerce Paradise. And today I wanted to talk to you about if you have tried to do high ticket dropshipping in the past, but you have not been successful with it. And do you want to try to make your store profitable or try to start a profitable store? This video is for you. So a lot of the people that I come in contact with when it comes to regards to high ticket dropshipping, especially online, is people that tried to start a store in the past, have gone through one course or another and tried to figure it out, but was never able to really become that successful with it. Maybe they got some sales, maybe, you know, everything kind of started well, but then it just didn't really pan out. So I just want to talk about maybe some advice for what may have gone wrong, and then talk about like how to overcome those things, how to sort of get beyond any trauma you might have from that, and just, you know, how to generally make a store profitable and scale it. So if you're not familiar with high ticket dropshipping yet, definitely check out my free mini course on high ticket dropshipping, and you get a free niches list as well. Just go to ecommerceparadise.com/niches and get a list of profitable products you can start selling online today. So if you're familiar with high ticket dropshipping, you've tried it before, let's get into it. So a lot of the people that I talk to that have tried high ticket dropshipping that were not successful with it, usually the reason why is because you chose a poor niche or a niche that doesn't really work that well for some reason or another. A lot of niches have weird problems with them. Sometimes, like for instance, the supplier just won't want to set up an account with you because you don't have a physical retail store. Sometimes, you know, the products that you are selling have high shipping costs that eats all the margins. You know, sometimes there's not enough margin between like the retail and the wholesale price to allow for shipping costs and still make a profit. You know, and also, you know, just generally speaking, sometimes you just don't know what you're doing, like with ad accounts and stuff like that. So you run ads, but they're just not profitable. You end up spending money and not getting that many sales. So this is especially important if you have not done a successful e-commerce store yet. This is your first try, because you know, when you try for the first time and you fail, generally, you know, usually you have some sort of mental or emotional trauma from that event, you know, and sometimes a lot of people just give up. Sometimes what happens too is that people get into it thinking that it's kind of a passive income thing and that you don't need to put a lot of time and effort into it, which is not true. It's definitely a very active income thing. You do need to put a lot of time and effort into this. The one big benefit of it is that it's location independent, so you can run one of these businesses from home, or you can run it working from coffee shops, or you can travel and, you know, take it with you as you go. You can outsource the tasks to virtual assistants around the world, usually in the Philippines, and they can run it for you for not that much money. And so these businesses do work very well, and there's many great examples of successful ones that you can see online. And if you watch my mini course, you'll kind of get an idea on how to do niche research, and you can try to find some of these stores on your own that do high ticket dropshipping and get an idea. So usually what happens is poor niche selection, you know, poor ad account management, and just not really understanding anything when it comes to getting traffic. So like I talked about, niche selection issue usually has to do with the suppliers. So the suppliers themselves may, you know, just not want to set up accounts for you. You might get accounts, but the products are not that profitable. I've run into these issues myself when I've explored other niches. You know, you just tend to get, usually the suppliers you get first are the ones that are going to open up an account with almost anybody. And usually those are the ones with either the lower margins or the higher competition, that kind of stuff. And it's very difficult to be profitable when you only get those kind of like low tier suppliers. When you dig into any niche, there's always usually going to be high tier suppliers that you want to get, like the really good ones, the ones that offer better margins, the ones that offer higher, you know, priced products and better product quality and all that stuff. So definitely, if you gave it a try, maybe what you should also consider doing is researching your competitors more. You know, look at their bestsellers, try to find their bestsellers on their website, best-selling suppliers and those best-selling products, and then really try to get those particular suppliers. And if you have trouble with that, or if they just don't want to set up an account for you for one reason or another, you can keep trying and don't give up right away. But yeah, if you do end up coming into kind of like brick walls where you can't get past it, can't get these suppliers on board for one reason or another, it might be a good idea just to ditch the niche and go for a different niche. Right. When it comes to ad account trouble, you really need to learn how to run a Google Ads account to be successful with high ticket dropshipping. High ticket dropshipping is only going to work really well when you do search based you know, advertising, which like search query advertising. Social media ads work fine for retargeting, but people don't usually buy really expensive products, you know, on impulse decisions. Okay. You know, it's rare, but you know, there are other, some instances of it, obviously, but usually it's less, the less amount of people are very rich enough to be able to afford a $1,000 plus product and buy it on impulse, right? So social media ads that go just to somebody who's interested in the niche usually aren't going to be as profitable. What works really well is Google Ads because it's based on search query, search engines and stuff like that. Okay, so you know, whatever your niche happens to be, whatever your product category happens to be, you can set up Google Shopping ads, and those are going to automatically target the keywords that you want to go after. And Google Shopping ads can be set up in, you know, different tiers and things like that, because there's a thing called campaign priorities. If you're not aware of what campaign priorities are, you can Google that. Just type in Google Shopping campaign priorities and kind of learn how those work. Because what you can do is you can tier out different Google Shopping campaigns according to different types of keywords. And then you can target those specific keywords, the ones that are, you know, more specific to the products you're selling. And when you can target really good specific keywords for the products you're selling that are the keywords people are typing in when they're lower down the funnel, when they're closer to making the purchasing decision, then you can start to really get the kind of traffic that's targeted, the traffic that's going to buy right away. And that's the kind of traffic you need to get. So yeah, Google Ads, Microsoft Ads also, it works on the Bing, you know, search engine. And also they have a new search engine now as well. But Google Ads and Microsoft Ads are two of the best ones to go with. I definitely recommend that for anybody trying high ticket dropshipping. And if you just don't know how to use Google Ads at all, Google Ads actually offers a free course and a free just, you know, a walkthrough and everything. Now, one thing to be weary of with Google Ads is that they do offer really automated campaigns, and you don't ever really want to use those. You can use them to start, but I wouldn't recommend trying to scale a business with those, because oftentimes they're not going to be targeting the right keywords. They're going to target any keyword they want to target. Google just loves to spend your money on, you know, stuff they shouldn't be spending your money on if you give them permission to do so. So watch out for that. A lot of wasted money for advertising goes to, you know, non-targeted or not very well targeted traffic. Okay, so keep that in mind. You know, you can build out campaigns, and I would recommend using Google Shopping. In order to get on Google Shopping, you have to get onto Google Merchant Center, which actually has been very difficult nowadays. Ever since the pandemic, there were a lot of scams with Google Shopping. There were some nefarious sellers that were offering products that were normally multi-thousands of dollars for only $100 or something like that. And, you know, they would advertise on Google Shopping, people would buy, and then they would never deliver the product. They would take the cash out and within a week or two completely disappear. And, you know, so because of that, now Shopify and Google both have very stringent rules and policies, and they'll shut down sellers that they think are high risk. And so it's very difficult now, but you can still get on there. Just you got to start slow and have all your business documents ready. It is more difficult for foreigners to do business like this now. So if you are a foreigner, you're either going to need to set up with a high-risk merchant processor, or you're going to need to get a physical residence in the US, because Shopify no longer wants to serve, you know, with Shopify payments, foreigners without a physical US residence. So you'll end up having to pay 2% plus your merchant fee on the high-risk one. So it just is what it is. There's been too many scams, and they just don't want to deal with it anymore. There's losses, obviously, when there's scams. So great. So just make sure that, you know, you're aware of the two biggest things, most important things, which is choosing a niche with suppliers that have best-selling products, and also learning how to run a good Google Shopping Ads campaign with Google Ads and Microsoft Ads. Okay. So that's kind of the first level. And then the next thing I want to talk about is conversion optimization. A lot of people don't really do enough with conversion optimization. That's sort of the main thing. So if you're running Google Ads, you know, your conversion rate should be around, you know, 0.5% to 1%, up to 2% would be great. You know, somewhere between 0.5% and 2%. But if you find yourself down in that 0.1, 0.2% category or less, you're just not going to be profitable. Okay. So every, you know, $100 you spend on Google Ads, you should be getting $1,000 in revenue. That's kind of how, you know, the minimums of where profitability starts to begin with high ticket dropshipping, a 10x return on ad spend. When you spend $1,000, you should have $10,000 in sales. You spend $10,000 on ads, you should get $100,000 sales, that kind of thing. So, you know, of course, this really depends on your margins. So again, try to find suppliers that have good margins. This also depends on your risk. So find suppliers that have quality products. If you end up with suppliers where there's a lot of issues, like they ship to the wrong address, or there's shipping damage, or, you know, maybe I don't know, things don't work properly when they arrive, that kind of thing, and there has to be refunds, then you should definitely consider, you know, switching to a better supplier, or, I don't know, just having the tough conversation with that supplier. If it's a best-selling supplier, you might not want to get rid of them, but you might want to try to figure out like why it's happening. And to be fair, there are ways to get around this now. Like there are apps that you can use for shipping protection. So definitely there are solutions, but you know, of course, it just depends. Some niches are more risky than others. But definitely consider trying to optimize your website. And the ways to do that are very simple. Number one, you want to have social proof on your website. So that means usually just reviews. It's difficult to get reviews in the beginning, so I would recommend curating reviews. You want to be very careful with this, of course. Don't make them too specific. But you know, you can also just go to your supplier and say, hey, do you guys have any reviews that I can borrow from my website? That's usually perfectly fine. But you got to have some reviews on your website. And then asking your friends and family to leave reviews for you on your website or your social media is also very helpful as well. Setting up Trustpilot or a third party like shopper approved kind of thing is more trustworthy than just reviews on a website. So definitely do that. But yeah, reviews are great for social proof. Another thing you might want to consider, depending on your margins, is some sort of a expiring coupon code. This really tends to help close sales. You know, oftentimes competitors will have like a $20 or $100 coupon or 5% off or 10% off coupon or something like that. And it really, again, depends on your margins with each specific supplier and maybe it's each specific product line that supplier offers, that kind of thing. So you want to dig into your margins, dig into your, you know, product offering and make sure that you're able to offer this much. You can do store-wide codes that are lower, and then you can offer like product-specific codes or something like that that are higher. But always have an expiration, even if it's an ongoing thing. So you can do like a 24-hour, 48-hour expiration that resets every single time that the time closes. You know, this is seen by some as sort of, you know, ingenuine, but retailers do it all the time. They just constantly have promotions going on and they always have an end date. It just gives you kind of an edge. It makes the person feel like they really need to take action now. Okay. And whenever you run promotions on social media with graphics, definitely always do that as well. This is the percent off. This is the end date. Email marketing as well. If you just have a percent off without an end date, it's less likely to convert as well. Okay. Cool. The other thing to consider is having a trust badge on your website. I recommend Trusted Site. That's an app in Shopify now, Trusted Site. It's low cost. I used to recommend Norton Shopping Guarantee, but that went away and became BuySafe Shopping Guarantee. And you know, you can use that as well. But Trusted Site's built into Shopify and it's pretty easy to use and it converts well. So Trusted Site is great. You know, I definitely recommend getting that because it just gives your shopper a little bit more confidence. Another thing to consider is just make sure that your website has all the same types of pages and offerings and things like that that your competitors have, that your top competitors have. So research them, look at all their pages, look at all like the funnel the buyer goes through to buy something and just try to take things away and to think of ways you can improve your website. Oftentimes, I'll just go back to my competitors every week or every month and just kind of try to get more ideas on improvement because I know they're always trying to improve too. So why not glean my ideas? You can also look at top competitors in other niches. So you don't need to just look at your own niche. In fact, it's almost usually better to do that because then you're not just taking directly from your competitors and you can kind of make your site more unique and better that way. So definitely do that. I recommend doing that. Some other things, just generally speaking, you should do SEO constantly. If you don't know SEO yet, you should definitely learn it. You can just go to YouTube and search, you know, SEO how-tos and stuff like that, and people will teach you. You can rank organically for free, and you can get free traffic, and it can be targeted traffic as well. So there's a lot of little things you can do with SEO. Definitely focus on that. Another thing to think about is, you know, your site and how fast it loads and how it works. If a customer lands on your website and then they have time or they have a problem going through your website and they have blocks and stuff like that, then it's a bad idea. That's a good idea to focus on trying to fix that. Okay, so definitely look at your website, page speed, load time, stuff like that. Let's see. Another thing is just customer service in general. You've got to be available to take phone calls with high ticket dropshipping. If you aren't, then it's less likely that you get as many sales. Just bottom line, a lot of people want to call before they make an order. So if you aren't available to answer the phone oftentimes yourself, then you should definitely hire a virtual assistant, have them learn your product lines and do some test calls with them and make sure they sound good and all that. But then definitely have them make, you know, take calls 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at a minimum, Monday through Friday. If you can do weekends too, great. But I definitely recommend doing that. have live chat available on your website and answer those. If your VA works, you know, during the week and does live chat, maybe you can help after hours on the weekends, but that will help close sales. And then of course, provide good customer service. It'll keep people coming back and it'll get them to refer their friends and family, which is one of the best ways to get sales, is just through referrals, because it's completely free usually, unless you have an affiliate program, but that's a whole nother topic. So yeah, just take care of people. When things go wrong, just do your best within your margins to take care of them. Some customers are just going to be problem customers. If they end up being really big problems, it might cost you less in effort and just, like, you know, headaches in order to just spend some money to take care of their problem as opposed to fighting them on it. And also beware that customers that have problems may leave bad reviews, especially on third-party platforms, and that can definitely look bad for you. Now, if you do get that and it's unfair, you can of course write back and say, hey, we took care of you, or we did this to remedy the situation, whatever. One of my businesses, I had a lot of, you know, expensive products that broke either in shipping or it didn't work when it arrived. And I had to deal with a lot of negative reviews on the Better Business Bureau. And that became kind of a nightmare, because those guys aren't very helpful unless you pay them a lot of money. So, you know, their business model is sort of wishy-washy. I don't really like the Better Business Bureau. I think they could definitely do a better job at providing better service to vendors, to their customers. But, you know, in a way, they are doing what they're doing to make money. So it's understandable. It is a for-profit business. It is not a federally regulated business. It's a privately owned business. So it is just what it is. It's just the bureau part of it, I think, makes people feel like it's some sort of like a federal agency or something, like the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation. So them calling themselves that is sort of shady, and I don't really like it. But anyways, so definitely be aware of that. If you do want to have a good experience with the Better Business Bureau, I'd recommend paying them the whatever $700 a year it is up front to have an A+ rating. And then no matter what problems you have, they'll always kind of like side with you. It's kind of funny how that works. And I've done that in the past, and I've had that experience both ways. So I've paid it and had a great experience where they would just like completely erase bad customer reviews and stuff like that if I wanted it. And then I had it where I didn't pay it. And then any customer review that came in, they would like double up and kind of like go even harsher on me because I just didn't pay their annual fee. And then even after the fact, they didn't even want to take the annual fee just because there were so many bad reviews, you know. And I had tons of customers, and tons of them were happy people, and I got a lot of good reviews, and then they would even hide the good reviews. So, you know, just be aware of these third-party platforms, especially Better Business Bureau. They're pretty whack, but you do deal with it, especially when you start to scale. Yeah. So just like, I think the main thing to focus on is your competition when you're trying to make a profitable business. You got to figure out what they're doing right, how they're getting customers and stuff like that. And it's usually a mixture of all the things I just talked about, plus a lot more. So study your competitors, research your competitors, and really try to extract as much information from them as you possibly can. Sign up for their email list, you know, talk to suppliers and ask your customers if they've ever dealt with them, that kind of thing. Just try to figure out about your top competitors as much as you can, because that's kind of going to be a guide to how to become successful in your niche, whatever niche you choose. And then, of course, if you find that a niche is just a trouble niche and you spend a lot of time on it, it's not a big deal just to let it go and just start in another niche. Yes, it's going to be an uphill battle. Yes, you're going to have to get suppliers all over again, but it's probably a lot less actually work than you think it'll be. You already probably have a lot of experience by now. So if just the niche you chose didn't work out, just choose a different one. It doesn't have to necessarily be something you like or are interested in. It just has to be something profitable. Okay. So by doing the research, you'll hopefully be able to find something that is profitable. And you should look at all the different, you know, types of, you know, variables there are in niche selection. I have a video on YouTube that's all about niche selection. So you can check that out. And definitely sign up for the niches list and mini course where I talk about niche selection as well and provide a lot of different examples so you can start to research niche selection. And if you're interested in a full course breakdown on how to go from zero to scaling past 100,000 a month in revenue with high ticket dropshipping, check out my high ticket dropshipping masterclass, ecommerceparadise.com/masterclass. And in there, I basically show you over the shoulder me building one of these businesses and you know, how I scale it once it's profitable, that kind of thing. So check that out, guys. And if you want anything else, definitely feel free to contact me, Trevor@ecommerceparadise.com. Just check out the website. I offer many different services for high-ticket dropshipping entrepreneurs as well as suppliers, and I'm constantly working to build this thing out. I've been a little bit inconsistent with content sometimes, but I'm just kind of sort of dealing with things in my own business. So it is what it is. I'll try to do more content in the future. Thank you guys so much. Definitely subscribe to the channel. Hit that like button to help me get the video out to more people, and comment if you have any questions. Be happy to answer them. Thanks so much, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.